Thank you so much. It's always good to come to church on Sunday and just lose yourself in the worship, and yeah, it's awesome. I have a funny joke that I'd like to start with. it's pretty bad. Okay, I'll just read it. Okay, both a priest and a taxi driver died and were resurrected. St. Peter was waiting for them at the pearly gates. St. Peter motioned to the taxi driver, "Come with me." The taxi driver followed St. Peter to the mansion as instructed. It had everything imaginable, from a bowling alley to an Olympic-sized pool. "Oh, my word, thank you," the taxi driver said. St. Peter then led the priest to a run-down shack with a bunk bed and an old television set. "Wait, I think you're a little confused," said the priest. "Shouldn't I be the one who gets the mansion? After all, I was a priest who went to church every day and preached the word of God." "That is correct, but during your sermons, people slept," St. Peter said. And everyone prayed as the taxi driver drove. It's so bad, isn't it? Wow. Worst joke ever. Okay. Well, it's so good to be here, and I just want to say, like, I think Grace Point is extremely generous, and it's just awesome to be part of such a generous and loving family. And I actually just want to honour Rob and Marguerite just for just loving us into the family and everyone. But I just particularly want to honour you guys for just, like, you guys live out what you preach, and I just feel like I see that because I work with you guys every day in the office. So I just want to honour you guys and thank you for that. And I also just want to just honour the guys that I get to serve with every week at youth. Layla, Tiana, Josh, and Alex. Just things just wouldn't be possible without you guys, and just all the generosity that you guys show every Friday night. And also Melody and Taylor. I'm not sure that they're here today, but you know, just everything that they pour into the young adults in our community. So I just want to honour those guys. And it's such a blessing to, yeah, just do ministry with you guys and work with you guys and serve. So last week, Rob was talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I think we could probably just read that and be done with today's message. It's pretty good. he challenged us with things like, what size harvest do you want to see? I was really challenged by that. Now, another challenging thing for me was, what have I decided to give in my heart? That's a hard question to answer. And I also love, you know, what was said last week. God generously provides all we need plus enough to share with others. I just feel like that is so true in my life. He gives me so much and I'm just able to share a lot. So I've just been really encouraged over the last couple of weeks. And it's just, today I just want to kind of share just a few things that I feel like I've found helpful in my own journey with this generosity thing. And the first thing I just want to kind of touch on is, just been praying and thinking, but like our treasure in heaven. So when we sow into the kingdom, like, we have to have a kingdom perspective on our generosity. And I was reading and came across Matthew 6. It's a pretty awesome chapter. It's like, you know, the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus teaches kind of a little bit on money. But he says this in verses 19 to 21. He says, Matthew 6, 19 to 21, if you do have your Bibles, he says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And I think, this Rob probably touched on this last week. He said, if you want to know what you value, look at where your money is. Man, that's kind of scary. Hey, like, if I took my bank statement and I was like, oh yeah, this is where all my money's gone. But wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. I'm confronted by that, but it's true. And I think what Jesus is getting at here is that there is this thing called eternity, which is a surprise. It's a long time. Turns out, in fact, it's forever. it's a long time. But what helps me just like understand, like why I give, is because I know that when I'm sowing into the kingdom, it has eternal value. It has value that actually lasts forever. And I believe that, yes, that's actually the money that I sow into church. It's the time that I sow in. It's the talent that I give. It actually has eternal value and impact. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes we can think, church isn't supposed to be just some club where we come and pay, like, our 10% membership fee and, you know, we do a little bit here and there. Like, it is so much more than that. And the church is building disciples of Jesus that have a forever impact in the kingdom of God. And like, I just sometimes think, man, could you imagine if like the apostles were just like, oh yeah, like I'm just going to give my little, you know, 10% here or whatever, you know, Christianity probably would have died pretty quickly. But like, the thing is, they were consumed. Like, they were absolutely consumed with a passion and a fire for Jesus. They gave everything. They were willing. They were literally willing to go as far as death for the sake of the gospel. Marguerite already said it, but like they were all in. Like, they were just all in for the kingdom. And yeah, so this whole 10% thing, actually, it's an Old Testament thing. So it actually comes from Malachi chapter 3, if you want to look it up. But you know, it is a good starting place, and we have everything we have actually belongs to God anyway. And yeah, I'm a big believer that actually Jesus wants us to be all in, like, all the time. And when I read the book of Acts, like, yeah, it blows my mind. Like, they were just living in the overflow of the Holy Spirit. Generosity just flowed out of them in every way, you know, and that was in their time, their treasure, and their talent. And I love what it says in Acts 20:35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And yeah, there's kind of like an old saying that says, grandparents plant the trees so grandchildren get the shade. Okay, so like, when we are generous, it's like we're planting trees. That's just a funny picture, isn't it? Trees, like we're planting trees. But we're planting trees that the next generation actually get the shade of, if that makes sense. And you know, we may not physically see a full harvest in our lifetime, although that, like, maybe we will, I don't know. But I know that, like, there would have been spiritual mothers and fathers that have gone before us and have planted seeds into this house, into Grace Point. And we're seeing, like, a harvest from that. And I also think it's true that right now we're planting seeds and we're sowing into the next generation, you know. And I'm just so grateful for things like Totspot. Like, that's sowing seeds into Beatrix. That's beautiful. And there's so many seeds being sown in on, like, Friday night. I mean, last Friday we had a worship night and God moved powerfully. But there's eternal seeds that are being sown. And I think I just... You know, last week, you know, Rob shared a lot about sowing seed. And I think some of it is actually, it's not like you just, like, chuck the seed and then, like, that's it just grows. You've actually got to, like, prepare the field. Like, you got to dig. And sometimes that's, like, you got to put your shoulder to the wheel and actually kind of do something and dig and like, plant your seed. And I also just want to remind us that, you know, it's not just me or the other leaders that, you know, are sowing the seed. It's actually all of us. Like, if we give financially, or if we give our time, if we build in relationally, like, we all share in the fruit of the harvest. So I just want to remind us that we all benefit from the fruit. So in my walk, anyway, that's kind of helped me with my own generosity, is just having a a kingdom mindset, knowing that actually what I'm sowing is actually, it's an eternal seed. And you know, like, you never know the impact of the seed that you actually sow. Like, I know I run into people that I've, you know, done, like, ministered to or whatever. They're like, oh, that, like I've sown some kind of small seed there and someone else has, like, come and watered it and whatever. And then I meet them, like, I don't know, like, 10 years on and, like, it's just incredible. they're like, wow, you, like, you really impacted me. And I was just like, what? Like, I just had no idea. But for me, it also comes back to, like, the seeds that you sow are more than you think. And it comes back to the whole Ephesians 3:20 thing. Like, he goes above and beyond all you could imagine or dream. It's pretty awesome. So that just really helps me in my walk with generosity. And the next point I want to talk about is pretty simple. It's found in John 13. Such a powerful chapter. Jesus, you know, washes his disciples' feet, and then he gives us this new command. It says in John 13:34, "So now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So why am I generous? Pretty simple, because Jesus commands us to love one another. And I love what Paul writes in Galatians 6:10. He says, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith." God wants us to look after each other because we're family. It's pretty simple. That's why I'm generous. The apostles live this out, and I love this. Acts 2:42-47. I think this has been shared a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to read it again. It says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals." It's beautiful. "Including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." I just love this. This just paints such a beautiful picture of generosity. They shared everything they had. Could you imagine what that would look like in our community? They shared everything. If there was a need, they met it. I don't know about you, but man, I think that's some pretty radical generosity right there. Especially by today's standard, I think it's probably definitely a little bit more than, you know, 10%. But they were just absolutely consumed with a passion for Jesus. They were just all in. They loved one another with a radical love. So that just really helps me to be generous, knowing that, hey, we are actually the family of God and that we look after each other. So that's just the second, you know, simple thing that I think helps me with my generosity. And and the third thing would be this. Luke 16:10, it says, "If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones." So like I really believe that God wants me. He wants, well, all of us, but I'm just talking to myself because I need to hear this. He wants me to be faithful with what he's given me. He wants me to use it to actually build the kingdom. And I think from an early age, I just kind of caught that. I became a Christian at 14, and kind of ever since then, I've always decided to just, you know, give money into the offering every week at youth group and church. I mean, it wasn't much back then, but I knew that I wanted to give it to God. And it was awesome. I used to like go to church, and if I didn't have money, like some lovely older person sitting next to me would like give me money so then I could have something to put in the offering. It was so beautiful. But pretty much every week I've decided to put something into the offering at church. And it hasn't always been easy. Like some weeks have been financially a struggle for us. But God has always met our needs regardless. And I could tell you some pretty crazy stories how God has provided for us. Like I remember when I was getting ready to go to Bible college, I had like zero funds, like, and I just randomly met this rich doctor who was like, I've been praying and here's some money for you to go to Bible college. I was like, thank you God for meeting all my needs, right? So there's stories like that so just being faithful with what God's given me. And you know, Grace Point is our fam. This is our fam now, so why wouldn't we want to give in to our family? Like, and we do that. We've made a decision that every week we just give in. We just do direct debit, comes out of our account, and we just sow into the house because we want to be faithful with what God has put in our hands. And I think it goes further than that as well. Like, I don't want to just be faithful with what he's given me, but like not just money, but also my time and my talent as well. And God has blessed me with this gift of music. Surprise. but like, I want to be faithful with that. Like, I want to be generous and actually share that and build the body of Christ. You know, we had Spirit and Grace. We were at Spirit and Grace last week, and that was just awesome. I was able to share that gift, like, do music. It was awesome. And I'm just, again, thinking here about Jesus as well. Like, I mean, I think this is funny, just to get this whole 10% thing right. But imagine if he went to the cross and was just like, oh, just here's like a little bit of my blood. Like, no, his sacrifice was, he gave his all. And hear me out when I say this. Like, I think we are an incredibly generous church. But I do think there is more. And I think at times we can become like comfortable when our generosity doesn't require that much of a sacrifice. And I totally believe that, yes, we are supposed to give with joy, like, you know, give with joy and decide in our hearts what we want to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, that was touched on last week. But I think at the same time, generosity has a cost as well. And I think the danger is, at least for myself, is when I start living comfortably in my generosity. I can get stuck and then never kind of grow in my generosity. And I'm not just talking about like my money, but I'm also talking about our time and talents as well. Like when for me, it doesn't cost anything to be generous. And I think this is kind of a question that I've been pondering in my mind. You know, not thinking about, what's an amount extra that I can give? Rather, the question for me that I've just been thinking to myself is like, well, what's actually stopping me from being more generous? Like, what's actually stopping me from being more generous with my money? Like, what's stopping me from being more generous with my time? What's actually stopping me from being more generous with the gifts that God's given me? So I've just been kind of pondering that question lately. And I'd like to just kind of explore that a little bit in a moment. But I just want to share, like, just in closing here this morning, I do want to just share a personal story. So, you know, many of you know part of my story. I was, you know, I became a Christian at 14 and had a pretty radical salvation. Like, Jesus literally met me when I was on the verge of death. I was a very, like, my mental health was very bad as a young teenager. And Jesus completely changed my life. And I literally went from, you know, we talk about going from darkness to light. That was literally, I feel like that was literally me, going from darkness into light. But my whole life was radically turned upside down. And part of that journey was actually the incredibly generous church who loved me through all of this. And part of my story is that the church I actually attended, they were just so full of love that they actually, the pastors of that church actually literally, well, not literally, they didn't sign the papers, but they adopted me into their family. So, like, I ended up spending 2 years living with my my pastors, who just loved me and just were just so generous toward me. Like they would just go over and above. I mean, I was just like a really bad teenager. And they just continued to love me and just show generosity to me. They fed me. I didn't have many clothes. They got clothes for me. They just loved me as their own. And it was really special, right? They extended this extreme generosity to me. And you know, I'm pretty, like, I doubt that I would even be here today if it wasn't for them. And, you know, it wasn't like this perfect time either. There was many, nothing's perfect. There was a few issues, but it was probably me. But it's a beautiful reminder to me of what grace-filled generosity actually looks like in real life and in my own life. And I know for myself, because of their generosity, like, that's kind of taught me to be generous. And yeah, and I guess that's what it is. It goes back to that for me, that question of what's actually stopping me from being more generous in my life. So I just want to kind of answer that for myself and maybe for you guys too. But I think for me, like, what's stopping me from being more generous? I think for me it comes down to a fear thing. Like, ooh, like, what if I... It's a bit of FOMO, fear of missing out. Oh, what if I miss out by, like, giving away something here? Like, I think I probably put a lot of my identity and worth and security in a lot of the materialistic stuff that I own. That kind of hurts, eh? You know, like, the thought that, man, we would love to own a house one day. Probably not in Sydney. Who knows? But it would have to be a big miracle. But you know, other things, like, I like my own space. Like, I like my house. It's a good space. It's good when it's clean. So when people come over, it's probably not as clean as we liked it. But that's fine. The music thing. Like, I think what stops me from being generous with music is I just... Sometimes I feel lazy. You know, like, musicians have to be here at 8 a.m. or something, right? Who wants to wake up at 8 a.m.? Definitely not musicians, but maybe after a few cups of coffee, yes. But, you know, sometimes I can also just be in a big rush to go nowhere. And I can be a little ungenerous with my time. Where I can pretend like I'm super busy at work, I've got so much stuff to do, and that kind of stops me again from being generous with my time. So I just wanted to spend like just a little moment like now, if we can do that, and just with the person next to you, if you don't have someone next to you, just find someone. And I'm just wondering if it might be okay if we might just think about that question, like, what's stopping me from being generous? And if you feel okay, just share that with the person you're sitting next to, or just find someone. And then I'd like us to actually just pray over each other. And can we do that? Is that all right? So we'll do that now. And just be honest and